Lord, in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your presence and grace and mercy. God, deal with us according to your good will, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we've been studying the Gospel of John, remember that John is the last living apostle. Remember that God is going to conclude all that he's going to say until he comes. In the Gospel of John, way back 95, 90, 100 AD, back here, Book of Revelation, the last thing, and the Gospel of John, Book of Revelation. And thus he's giving us a view of all of history, giving us a view of the Old Testament, all of secular history, sacred history. God, what do we need to know? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, there's only you. You made it clear dozens of times, many times. You have said you're the only God and the only Savior. There is none other at all. You yourself have said there is no other. That settles it. So now, having said that, then here we are. John is writing to help us understand God. God made his wonderful presence known in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the perfect humanity, together with the perfect deity, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, John is writing very carefully, dates and everything when he wants to write, and he's giving us a movement about our Lord Jesus Christ so that we can understand the movement of seeking to make himself known to the Jewish community, to the world in general. And thus he does so. Now, and the Pharisees, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the people generally, world and Jewish world and Gentile world, do not really want to have their routine interrupted. They don't want to have that happen. And men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil, and darkness opposes the light. And so the Pharisees, Sadducees, as they saw their system being brought to an end, if they listen and believe, then they would have to yield, and they don't want to yield. And so all you try to do is get rid of the problem. And so therefore they sought to kill him. And you have in chapter 7 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked. Remember, there's 6 months before he goes to the cross. So you're time-wise, 6 months, he's going to the cross, approximately. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. Why wouldn't he? Because they sought to kill him. So they're trying to kill him. And remember, over in verse 32, the Pharisees, 7:32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things. Remember, they're talking, and they have to talk very quietly, secretly, because the people are out there, the KGB is out there, hunting them down somewhere. So the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So they're trying to find him and do whatever. One other place to get the flavor of it, so you see it, chapter 9, and you'll pick it up as it's unfolded for us so we can see the mood and movement of leadership. Chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 22. These words spake the parents, his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that he really is who he is, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they aren't going to do anything to disrupt their routine, their normal secular religious activities, and they're going to avoid any kind of trouble. So now, back over to chapter 7. Therefore, we are reminded because of this, chapter 7 and verse 13, Howbeit, no man spake openly of him, of our Lord. Why not? For fear of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews, understandably. Jews had the power, and they had the influence, and the Sanhedrin had a very special relation. The Sadducees had a very special relationship with Rome, with Pontius Pilate, so they could pull off whatever they wanted to. How much so? They could crucify Christ. And Rome had to give an okay to that. So now, in the process, they're afraid. And remember we shared the word, when we looked at being afraid in a world global situation which we're in, the global situation which we're in is a very fearsome, troublesome setting. And therefore, and it isn't diminishing, it's increasing in all kinds of ways, from ISIS in the Mideast and the Far East and China and Japan and India and Pakistan and Europe and NATO and Russia and Ukraine, all of these things. And then you go to South America, Venezuela, et cetera, Cuba, and Brazil, down and go through the countries, and you have in our own country in the middle of it all, where we're at. All of it is very isn't comforting. It doesn't give you a lot of confidence at all. So now, in the light of that, they fear, and we share together, the word fear means to run to. So you either run to positive, or you run from something. And so the positive fear, the same word fear, reverence, awe, the awesomeness of God, we run to Him. We fear God, we run to Him. Negatively, we run from Him when we don't want to get to God. We run away from Him. We fear God and run the opposite direction. And so now, here they feared the Jews, and therefore they were responding to that fear. They had no God, they didn't know God as their Savior. They had no good news, they had no gospel, they had no resources to handle the fears that were there, and they had no way to make it, so they had to go, and they feared the Jews, and they were careful what they said and how they said it, what they did and how they did it. So why? So that they would not be in trouble in the very special feast day at Jerusalem with all those people, the Feast of Tabernacles. And they're all there. So now, here we are, and they're afraid, understandably. And they didn't need to be afraid, but they were afraid. And we share together, reminding you, think of how many times God reminded His people. He would have to say to them, as we read in Isaiah 41 in Sunday school, fear not, we're fearing. And God says, fear not, because we have to get it. Fear God. Don't fear all these things. You go in the wrong direction. And they are going to be, they're not going to care or help you at all. So now, having said that about that, keeping that in mind, so they're very, and remembering that we are very little and very limited in our ability to cope daily. So the fears come and go like a roller coaster. Some days we feel safe and good, and other days we don't, and we ride the roller coaster. And because we're very little and very limited in what we do, what we say, what we can do, and therefore, we are very much subject to the society in which we live, to the conditions of the society, and we are going to be riding the roller coaster of fear in one form or another. So now, chapter 7, and in verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now, in the midst of the feast. Now, remember this, He does no miracles during this time. There's no miracles that are done. And And so he isn't up there to display himself. He's simply presenting his wonderful person in a very wonderful way. He isn't standing up and sending lightning bolts down. He isn't doing that. He's just there. And he goes in the midst of the feast at the right time, right place. Remember, he's going to go. He doesn't go when the others go. He goes in the midst. Remember, the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days plus one, 8 days. He goes up in the midst. He's going up probably in the fourth day. He steps forth. Here's the feast going on. Everyone's looking for him because he should be there, the Feast of Tabernacles. It is required of men to be there, etc. So where is he? Where is he? And therefore, on the fourth day, he shows up with the, and he walks simply in there among them and goes in verse 14. And he goes into the temple courtyard, temple grounds, and he starts teaching. That's what he's doing. He's teaching. He taught. He was teaching. He was teaching them. And so now, he's teaching them. Now, that's God. John, what are you going to help us with? I'm going to help you understand him. Verse 15. And the Jews, as he was doing this, the Jews marveled, saying. Now, they aren't after him negatively this time. They're just struck with awe. They marvel. The word marvel, they are amazed. They are astonished. They are taken with wonder. Why? What is there so about him that said, wow? And the Jews marveled, saying, they were saying, now what was it that made them so astonished, I should say, etc. Verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know? He's knowing something with the result that he is knowing it for sure. How knoweth this man letters having never learned? Now this man, you want to remember now from our study of how they were looking at him. Over at chapter 6 and in verse 42. I'll read verse 41 for a little reminder of your context, the context. For the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. A person coming down from heaven, not like Moses and manna that fell from the sky, but you're the person that sent the manna. You are the person, and you came down to be the bread of heaven. Verse 42, and they responded to a person coming down out of heaven. Verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, who we know, Joseph, Galilee, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And you notice verse 42, the beginning, this Jesus. Then you're going to slide your eye over, if you like, to verse 52. Therefore, and remember, the Lord is going to use this as we studied. Verse 52, chapter 6. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So that this man, the one we know from Nazareth, Galilee, how can this man, the one point, wow. This man, they're taken. How, why so? Over, if you would, in verse 15. How knoweth this man, how does this man know letters? How does he know letters? Now, this doesn't mean A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It doesn't mean that. It isn't talking about general, the general populace could read or write or whatever they did. And they could do it. That was just normal. But this isn't what that's talking about. This word in verse 15, having this man letters, having never learned. He never learned. So now, what are the letters? Well, the letters are a character, letters of learning. The character, in other words, we're talking about, using it simply, if you went, I'll read it, I'll give you what they did. If you were teaching in the temple then, and you were a rabbi and you were teaching, and remember, they never used their own authority. A good teacher never uses his own authority. Himself. This is what I believe. It doesn't say that. Or what I think. And thus the rabbi would begin the in teaching with this little quote. Quote, there is a teaching that, and then you finish it. Whatever you want to teach, there is a teaching that. So I'm telling you, there is a teaching out here that. And in the process of saying that, and then I quote quotations and authorities like you might in a court legally for your statement. You're going to make a statement and you're giving a quotes and authorities. And you're coming from a teacher who someone has taught, a school you've been to, a teacher you've been to. And therefore, what's going on? Well, here he speaks in their language. Now, giving you an illustration that may help. If you went to school as a doctor and you studied a long time as a doctor, as you would, and you would learn language and words and ways to say things that be very, very special that you would have. And so fellow doctors, when they're talking, are able to communicate in a language, in a mood, in language, in speaking, in terms that they're very familiar with because they're coming from some medical schools and the medical schools have equipped them and the medical schools, where they're students, they've been taught, and they all speak the same language. They speak it, their tone, their manner, their speaking, their use of words, and every expressions, that they speak it. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke so as if he went to rabbinical school, as if he went and had been with the best rabbis. He knew the exact way. He's a Galilean, and that's what their problem was. He's a Galilean carpenter. How can a Galilean carpenter ever speak so eloquently, so exactly, in very terms that we use, we spend years trying to get this language and to speak to each other. And he speaks exactly. Where does he get this wonderful scholarship from? Where did he get the technique from? Who was his teacher? That's what they want to know. So now, having said that, therefore we have the setting. You asked me, said the Lord, you asked me who my teacher was. And you want to know, where do I get my authority? Because I didn't say like you did, so-and-so said. I didn't do that. So you want to know, where does my authority come from? And how on earth do I know what I know? Can I say what I say? How can I do that? So therefore, what school did you go to? We didn't go to school. No. You trained as a carpenter, but you never went to school. So they're stuck, and they're struck with awe, amazement, astonished at what he said and didn't say. Now, in the Sanhedrin, remember, speak of the afterwards of the in Acts 4 and that, they would speak of Peter and James and John, and they would speak of them and say, they are unlearned and ignorant people. They're fishermen, tax collectors, they're nobodies. That's what they couldn't figure out about the Lord. He's nobody, but he's like somebody we've never met. He's something else, he is. Wow. So killing him at the moment is put aside because they're taken with his wonderful ability to speak, his scripture, his scholarship, the way he handles everything. So now, and they're taken with that. Hold your finger here just a moment and let me illustrate it elsewhere over to the Gospel of Matthew, the Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, picking up if I can, verse 28, Matthew chapter 7. And verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The scribes pointed to the quotes and the other thing. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He never said, let me quote from so-and-so book. He never said that. He never said that. Where did this man come from? Now, in the light of that, chapter 7 again in John, picking up, he never learned, remember, he has no learning. The word learning there, the word, verse 15, he has never learned, and the word learned there means to bring into one's experience. You take something and bring it in, not just learn it, not just hear it, and can echo it like a parrot. To learn it, it becomes part of your experience, is the word. To have truth become part of your life. And a good anything you do, whatever you do, engineering, whatever you do, it becomes part of your life, doesn't it? I mean, if I don't cook. If you cook apple pies, and you cook apple pies, and you do 5,000 of them. Do you know that apple pies are part of you? You dream about apple pies. You could make apple pies with your with no apples. You are so good. It's part of your life, part of your life. God, here we are, learn. It's part of your experience, part of your experience. Hang on now. Having said that, over, if you would, please. And they taught. So now, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to answer. You want to know how I am able to do what I do and learn an authority? You want to know who's my teacher, right? You want to know why I can say what I say and I don't do it like the teachers do. This is what so-and-so book says and this is what, I don't do that. And you want to know why. I'm going to help you. And therefore, you're perplexed and don't know the answer. You don't know how to answer it. I'm going to help you. So now, in verse 16. And the Jews, verse 16. And Jesus answered them and said, remember now, he's going to answer their question. And they're looking, they recognize the given schools and teachers. And that's what you need to understand. But his language and his learning is not from them. And so he is in perfect humanity, representing God in a most wonderful way. Verse 16, Jesus answered them, my doctrine is not mine. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So the doctrine that I'm giving you isn't mine. It isn't mine, no. It's his that sent me. So the words, the doctrine, the teaching that I have isn't mine. Isn't mine at all. No, it's not mine. It's his. It's his that sent me. Now, hang on to that. And let me just put a little bit around that so you can see it. What do we know about John? You've helped us in his word. What do we know about our Lord? His words and his works bore witness, his words and his works in his perfect person, humanity, expressed a wonderful God. You want to know about God? Here we are in the presence of the invisible, infinite, eternal God. And we are. How are we going to deal with your God? God sent his Son in particular so that we humans could relate and God could communicate to us so that we could understand, so that we could learn. Remember the little ant illustration? You want to help the ants down below. The ants are in trouble and the ants need help. And you try to tell them from up here, ants, and the little ants just scurrying and doing what they're doing, you know, and God, of course, and what you do, because you have the ability, you become an ant and go down and tell them. God put on a human body to come down and tell us, so we can understand. So now, here we are, and my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So over, if you would, just to get the flavor, he did not represent himself. He just didn't do it. So now, picking up, if I can, in chapter 8, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 28, you'll catch it. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You wonder what? Every word I give you is from my Father. I'm perfect humanity. I'm allowing God to be a perfect God, my life. God is my life. In my perfect humanity, I'm going to let him speak. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, picking up our thought again. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, not of myself, no, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. So everything I say is, you want to know what God says? Listen to me. Everything I say is from God. So, now, hang on to that. Over, if you would, to chapter 14. Chapter 14, and picking up in verse 10. Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Sliding down to verse 24. Chapter 14, verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. Well, then whose is it? It is the Father which sent me. It's my Father's words. So you want to know where my words come from? Where does the teaching come from? Where does the authority come from? It comes from my Father. I represent my Father. I am perfect humanity representing my Father, God the Father, in a perfect way. I represent his words and works. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if any man, back over to chapter 7. If any man will do, any man, my doctrine, verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, that is, which I give. The doctrine that I'm giving you is not mine, little pronouns in there, not mine, and, not mine, but his that sent me. It is not, that which I give you is not mine, it is not my possession, it's God. It belongs to God. All the words that I bring to you, in the way I bring them, in the way I say them, and what I know, belongs to God. It comes from God, belongs to God, wonderfully so. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, all of it belongs to God, comes from God. And therefore, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. So looking to God in that. Now, verse 17. So the dog. You want to know where it comes from? God. You want to know what I say? God. You want to know God speaks? I just gave you the words. Are you going to say, who's your source? God. Who's your teacher? God. So what would you expect? That his perfect humanity would represent God. The students that come from a given school and a given particular discipline come, and what do? They come and they represent the teacher. Socrates, Plato, what do? You come, you represent him. You represent him. That's what you do. You taught what the teacher taught you, and you walk and you represent the teacher. And therefore, when they see you, they see your teacher. They see your background. When they see him, they see God. When they see the rabbi, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they see themselves. They see the teachers that they have, go to school, rabbinical school, etc. So now, verse 17. This is continuing the answer now. You want an answer. I'm telling you, it's God's the source, not me. And verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So if any man will in the process of deciding, volition, possession, purpose is the word, to desire, to determine is the word. If any man will do his will, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, the teaching. So you want to know, where does this come from? You never heard this? No, we didn't. We have our little Talmud, with the Mishnah and the Gemara. We have all of these big books that we've collected and write about the Bible, about other things. And we have them, our understanding and our interpretations and our stories. We have them. We have no question about that. But, you don't have anything. No, I come from God, and I want you to know, if any man will do his will know the teaching. The teaching isn't earthly, it's heavenly. It comes from God. So if any man will do his will, there's the noun and the verb, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the teaching, all right? So here we are to know, to do his will, will be knowing, and the word know, do is a present tense, to be doing. You're practicing. If any man is practicing, if any man is out living, if any man is doing his will. So that's the key. Not just know it. Didn't talking about knowing it. Not talking about knowing his will. Doing his will. You want to do his will. You want to know where the source is? You need to go to the God, my God, to know. Well, how am I going to get to know the source of your teacher? You've got to go to God. You've got to go to God and understand God's will, God's wonderful will. God the Creator, God the Redeemer, only God, the only Savior. God said so. There's no other God, no other Savior. So I got to get to you, God, or there's no one. As we shared in Sunday school a little bit. So now, they wanted to know and to do God's will, to be knowing. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to know, you're going to have to go to the same source. You're going to have to go to him. You want to know where I come from? You need to go to him. You need to get to God. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And I told you I don't speak of myself. I made it very clear every single time. This isn't mine, it's my Father's. All my works and all my words come from the Father. They're about him. You want to know what God's like? Listen to me. You want to know what God thinks? Listen to me. You want to understand authority? Wow. Listen. Authority. Wonderful, wonderful authority. Now, so in the process, he will do his will. He shall know of the doctrine, the teaching. He'll know that. He'll know concerning that teaching. And in the process of that, whether it be of God or whether it be of myself. So what are we going to do? We're going to look to God. And in the process, you aren't going to represent yourself. No, I don't represent myself. Now, hang on, because you say, well, I'm going to give it to you a step up from that even. over, if you would, Matthew chapter 16, excuse me, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And picking, if I may, John chapter 16. And may I pick up, please, directly in the light of the context. Remember the Spirit of God, verse 7, 16, 7. Nevertheless, our Lord said in the upper room before the crucifixion, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is absolutely necessary for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, God the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So here's the Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right, God. Now, here's God the Holy Spirit. Now, and verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not," N-O-T, "he shall not speak of" what? "Himself." The Spirit of God will not honor himself. He will not do that. He honors Christ. Our Lord said, "In my perfect humanity, I don't honor myself. I honor the one that sent me. I don't honor myself." You want something. I'm not talking about myself. I'm able to say what I say because it isn't just me, it's my Father. I and my Father are one. I don't say I quote from, read this. I tell you directly what I say. What I say represents what God has to say. Now pay attention. Pay attention. If you go to God, you want God's will, we'll do it in a second. You want God's will? You want to know why I have such authority? You go to God and want God's will. And you'll know that my words are God's. You want God's will. You want proof? Go to God and let God authenticate, authorize, put together so that you have no question. Hang on, God, you're going to do this. That's right. So now, if any man will do his will, and know that he'll know whether it be of God, whether I be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Verse 18, last part of it. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him," God, "the same is true, and in no unrighteousness is in him." So I want you to know, you want to know the authority and authenticity of God the Son. Get to God yourself. Get to God and you'll know. Because you'll know my teacher. You'll know my source. He will authenticate what I say to you. And because he said it. He's the one that said it, you see. Now, so if you went to a class somewhere in school, some prestigious teacher, and you had a given section of understanding something, and you had it, here's a physical, here's an operational technique to do the knee, make believe. And here's a way to do the knee, hips or something. Here's the way to do it. And you want to say, "Well, where did you learn this?" "Well, I went to so-and-so. The doctor, Dr. So-and-so, taught me how to do this. So now, he taught me how to do it. So, and I do it." And you want to know what? From this doctor. Now, if you go to that doctor is going to teach you and train you in what way? In the same way, isn't he? He's going to go and help you do. So you can come back and talk to this doctor who does it. And you're going to talk to this doctor. And know what? You're going to have an agreement, 100% agreement between you. Because you both went to the same doctor and have the same information. And you got it. I got it. God, the Lord Jesus said, get up there and you'll hear the same thing from the teacher, from God. Now come down and talk to me. And you and I will speak the same language. We will speak it in the same way. We will have the same scholarship, you see. Now, so having said that little bit, over, if you would please, in the light of it, God's wonderful will, over, if you can, if you would, over to, Matthew chapter 7. When you end the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7, an interesting statement is to be found. Chapter 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. Our Lord will say, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The one who does my will. You mean there's a difference? Couldn't we just teach the same? Couldn't we open the book and teach? You could. But you aren't representing my Father. You need to get to my will. You must have practicing present tense. You must be practicing. You want my will for your life. But I don't want that. You cannot represent me. I don't care if you give the best exposition of Ezekiel in the world. You can't represent me unless you're doing my will. That would take care of a whole lot of preaching, wouldn't it? He's making a condition. He's telling you, unless you're doing my will, you'll know. And not of yourself. No, it isn't. So now, picking up in chapter 12 of Matthew. And chapter 12, picking up, the last statement up there, chapter 12, verse 50. Matthew 12, 50. The Lord Jesus, very quickly, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother, my sister, my mother. We have a unique agreement. We're on the same page. Same page. Same teacher. Same source of information. You don't have to question, how do I know that's the Word of God? Get to God and you'll know. Get to God. Look to God. You want God's will for your life? You aren't going to get it in the Book of Mormon. You aren't going to get it in Science Mind. You aren't going to get an evolution. You're not going to get it in the system. You're not going to get it anyway. You've got to go to God, go to the Word. We're looking to the God who gave the Word. And the God who gave the Word, I want God's will for my life. You are God. I'm going to honor your authority. I'm going to honor your awesome person. You are totally, wonderfully, always, forever who you are. I'm going to honor you. That's the condition. Don't do that. You can do what you want up here. Wow. Now, so a relationship, a unique relationship. Over with me, please, in the light of all this. In our time. Over if you would, please. To Romans. Romans chapter 12, picking up, please. God's will. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I do the will of my Father, which sent me. And so here we are, personally, bringing it right home to us at the moment. Chapter 12 of Romans. You know, we're to present our body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable, logical service. Verse 2, chapter 12, verse 2. When we're going to look to God, that's right, God's our creator, redeemer. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. No, don't try to let the world tell you how to dress, think, and look. But be transformed, from the inside. How so? By the renewing of your mind, your thought process, so that what? You may prove and put to the test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God said, do my will. Be doing my will. Not knowing. It isn't about knowing his will. It's about doing his will. There's a difference. It isn't about knowing. It's about doing. You're going to do it. God wants to know, you're going to do my will. You're going to honor me. That's all I want to know. Well, no, I'm not. But I'm going to study and preach. Go ahead. Go ahead. But your authority is missing. You can't authenticate because I'm not behind it. It's true, just as true as ever. But there's no oomph behind it. Wow. So God, here we are. And you know, with all those different things that you could remember. Philippians, easy. Philippians. And chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. I wish I could have done this a little better for you, but time's gone. Philippians chapter 2. Would you allow me to go directly to verse 12? You know the end of the verse. 2:12, the end. But how much more in my absence work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, God, what are we doing? We're going to outwork the wonderful life that you've given us in Christ Jesus. And we're going to do it how so? How are we going to work it out? For it is God, he's the source, which worketh in you both to will, there's your word, and to do of his good pleasure. God, we're looking to you. What God said, if you want to know whether it's true, you want my will in your life. Look to me. I gave my word. Look at the word. Look up here. Here you are. I'm in your presence, God. That's right. You never leave it. I want you to look to me. And when you look to me, you'll find I authenticate what I said. And when I authenticate what I said, you'll know, back then they would have known, that our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly spoke all the words that I meant him to say. You won't have any question, ever. You say, well, we don't know that. True. Darkness loves darkness. And they don't want light. That's why they're trying to kill him. Why? He's trying to tell them. You have to have another teacher, another source, another heavenly understanding, spiritual understanding. But I don't have any spiritual understanding. I can be academically an expositor, but I don't have spiritual understanding. I can do all of it, and people like it because it reaches the heart and mind. Without the heart. By that I mean it reaches us intellectually, and we like that. That's what happened way back in the founding of our country, Cotton Mather and all that. They got very tied up in the intellect and lost the understanding. Now, thus if you would, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. What do you know about God's will? Over in 1 John, appreciate your patience and all. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 17. What do you know? The world passes away. And the lust, the craving to give this and do that and make this happen, lust thereof, both of them disappear. But he that is doing the will of God, not knowing the will of God, doing it. I want God's will. I'm going to get out of bed. Thank you, I'm still alive. Thank you, I can do what I can do. God, whatever I eat or drink, I'm able to trust you with all my heart. And I go about everything as I best understand it, as best I can. And I do it, trusting you, God. I'm going to be God conscious. at work, home, school, and play. I want to be conscious of you, God. And I understand you have a wonderful plan and purpose for my life, which is beyond anything I could ask or think. And therefore, God, I'm going to look to you to have it work it out. And thus, God, and so that's what you want. That's right. And if you have that attitude, God said, you will know the truth. You'll know me. Because you're coming. You didn't come to tell me what you know. You came to tell me what you need to know. And what you need to know, I have. I know. And you're going to look to me for me to outwork my will. God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Wow. And thus in 1 John chapter 5, you know, verse 13, these things have I written, so we read and know. These things have I written unto you that believe. Well, that's right, I'm going to believe what you said, God, in the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know, not hope, not feel, but know what? That you have eternal life. And knowing you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, knowing you have life, you're going to be a believing believer. You're going to be living. You're going to exercise. What? Exercise God. My relationship to God. That's what it's about. Verse 14. And this is the confidence, boldness we have, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, God, we want your will for our life, for work, home, school, play, operation, good, bad, whatever. God, we want your will. And according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God, we want your will. We know we're saved. We're thankfully saved. We're believing because we are saved. We're trusting because we are saved. And we're looking to you, God, very confidently to ask outworking of your will. And if we ask outworking to your will, verse 15, you're going to have it. I want that attitude. I want that heart attitude to me. You want my will. I'm God. I'm your creator. I want that. Give me that. And you will know the teaching. And you will learn much. You leave it out of your life. And only call God when you're in trouble. You can do that. And God's very gracious. There's no question. But isn't it so much better to have such a relationship that it's just daily, hourly, by the minute with God? And you do what you have to do, the best you can do it, whether you eat or drink, do it to the what? To the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. This is the will of God in Christ. The word will. This is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything you'd what? Give thanks. That's my will. You want to know what my will is? My will, Timothy. My will is to save you. God is not willing that any should perish. You want to save me. That's your will. I want God's will. I want God's best. I just want an attitude that you honor me. Otherwise, you can do what you do as much as you wish, and you will not know. You want to know the authenticity and the author, and you want to have the language and the mood and direct. Say, boy, this guy or gal has come, been in heaven. That's right. You speak the language. You have the mood. Fellow doctors, fellow believers, speak the language. They have the mood. You see? I don't know. I wish I could help you better. Do you understand? It's a wonderful thing. Otherwise, God left us in the lurch, and we'd have to go by our IQ or our ability or whatever, and we don't have to do that. Not at all. We have a wonderful Savior. Our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us, help us, help us. And our God will thank you very, very, very much. so that we are not left out of it, God. We have no, I don't know whether it's true or not true. God, we aren't even mumbling such words, such thoughts. God, thank you very, very much for your word. God, you outbreathed it, you gave the words, and we're able to read them and able to look to you to understand that which you would have us in the light of the hour in which we live. So for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment, that they might receive you as their personal Savior. God, that we who know you, God, would just understand the unique relationship that we can exercise, if we but would, to enjoy a daily walk and talk, to walk before you and enjoy your wonderful person. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. We're going to just have a stanza, if you would.